Coming to you live, this is your MTG Action Forward News Team. Hello, this is MTG Action 4 News, your news team for keeping things fresh in the multiverse. I'm Mr. Combo Number 5, providing you new ways to lose your friends. Then we have Big Tuck, your breaking news source.
Yes, and remember that the road to hell is paved with horrible degenerate combos, not good intentions.
Squee McGee getting you caught up on the meta traffic with the Weatherlight Report.
Bringing you the beat on the street.
Then we have the head of CMD Tower himself.
We're going straight in through the quad and into the gymnasium.
Well, he started his New Year's Eve party a little early and already has a lampshade on his head, so he will not be participating. Thank you for tuning in to your number 12 source of Magic the Gathering news. We are excited to be nominated for an Emmy Krull, one could hope.
Yep, 2020, baby. 2020.
It's our year. Big year.
We're going to start off the top of the cast of the latest and carnage that ensued with games on Sunday with
45 in action.
I want to talk a little bit about a format that Big Tuck hated. The DC variant
Usurper. I didn't like that very much.
I really enjoyed it. It was fun.
I think it's
what gives.
I think it's the weakest of the three.
Is it because you don't like the movies?
No. Well, I don't. But the DC movies are horrible. Looking at you, Black Adam. Oh, wait, no. Shazam?
Yeah. Shazam was great.
So I felt that there was less interaction. The cards themselves just weren't as fun.
I don't know. I really liked, you know.
Yeah, you had a fun one.
I kind of. I mean, I couldn't win until someone killed me. Then I had to sacrifice all my non-land permanents, so I was Ra's al Ghul.
But I'm saying, like, compare that to this game. We can talk about this all because it all happened in a vacuum. I was going to talk about the Star Wars game, which was hysterically fun, right? And, like, I think what I liked more about it is, like, there's more. One of the problems with old Usurper is it is kind of like more of a melee, where Star Wars, it felt more like a board game, where there's like sides, and I love the clone army thing. Like, that was super fun.
Yeah.
It just like, and I don't know.
I think Nathan would disagree, because he hated Han Solo.
Yeah, true. That was a...
Like, I don't know, win the game if you kill Boba Fett. Boba Fett's not even in the game.
Yeah, so we might need to figure out a custom one for that or something. But anyway, I just thought that felt like there was more going on, even when I was playing Yoda and being able to, like, dictate the flow of combat a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit?
A little bit.
For me, it felt more fun. It felt more like a team thing, as opposed to this one, which is just, like, everyone racing to try to find a way to win.
I mean, but see, I liked the reason I liked the DC one is it was hilarious when our friend Davis thought, okay, well, I'm going to kill both of these guys and then I'm going to win. But it's like, ha, I didn't actually die.
Right.
I turned into Ra's. And then I thought it was hilarious when you kill Darkseid, and it's like, hey, by the way, you lose at the beginning of the next upkeep. You know, I liked that. I thought that was kind of fun. Batman with his surveillance drones, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know, I think maybe we just needed to pick, because I think it would have been cool if someone was the Joker. I think that's one
I would have
maybe
rather been the Joker
in.
Than freaking Dr. Manhattan, which was Dr. Do-Nothing. Or Dr. Do-Little?
You could have been Catwoman that literally does nothing until she dies, and then you just blow up six things.
It sounds to me like there's a few plot holes missing in this game.
Yeah
there is.
A little bit.
What I am thankful for is that we're playing more Usurper. Between the three of us, we played 1 million games of normal Commander. So how it spices it up a little bit. It kind of gives people more of a purpose of where to go, what to do.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm on board for all of them. I just disliked
DC
one the most.
That's fair. Well, Squee McGee, do you have any games you want to talk about?
I have been a little bit, as they say in the business world, out of pocket on the Magic Gathering around here.
Well, I'm sorry you didn't respond to your message on your PDA, so we're going to have to dock your overtime pay for that.
Well, we're just out here living the dream. Now, I had quite a few clients coming in town for Christmas, so we did a lot of recording.
That's awesome.
I was a little bit busy, didn't get any games in, but excited to jam some out here.
Yeah,
today.
Super pumped to do some today. Yeah. Is there any more you want to talk about the Star Wars one?
I thought you and I made a great pairing on the light side of the Force.
Yep.
The Clone Army is like the best.
That was so funny how you dictated.
That's the best role out of anything I've seen. Out
really?
Of any game. The Clone Army is the one that's most fun. So the way it works is there's the light side and dark side. For those of you who don't understand who Star Wars works, for the two people who play Magic but don't get Star
it's
Wars.
A little character called Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, which surprisingly wasn't even
in the game.
So what?
It's Leia and Yoda versus Palpatine and Vader.
What?
And then there's like some other ones. So the Clone Army, it's like
every upkeep
at the beginning of your fourth turn,
yes,
you reveal your thing and then you get two clones. Yep. And then is it every turn you get a clone, or is it every turn you get two?
I think it's every turn you get one, because I think it was like seven turns, eight turns, and then they win. Yes.
So you have your little armies of 1/1s, mm-hmm. and then if you have 10 or more clones,
you win.
You win the game. Huh. But between Yoda and Vader, whoever has the most life can choose to attack and block with the clones during their turn.
Oh, that's cool.
Dude, it's the best, because like you
They just kept fighting over it.
And, like, and it's like, and again, like Yoda and Vader both started with 50 life, right? So it got to the point where it's like, Mr. Combo, get in there for 5 points of damage and then I can block and save myself because I had nothing going on. That, in my opinion, is a very well-designed solo card, right?
Yeah.
It interacts with the board. It helps the game go. It makes the ball go. But then it also gives the other players something to do with it.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, I thought it was a lot of fun. Leia almost came out with the win, but it came down to her versus Palpatine and Vader. And Leia's ability is I got rebels every time I attacked Vader or Palpatine, someone from the dark side of the Force. And the interesting thing with her is I would get this massive rebel army, and so people constantly had to kind of board wipe me, or, you know, she would just kind of dominate. But then it came down to where basically I could kill Vader or Palpatine, but then the other one would kill me.
Well, and what's funny is the clone army actually killed me and someone else, I think. And there he could have killed you.
Yep.
Or
but see the issue is like if he killed me, then the dark side automatically won because you and I were gonna be dead.
If he killed the dark side, if
you and I were gonna win.
Yeah, like so he got put in a total pickle. Which again, it's why that roll's so good.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a ton of time to look into that stuff before, and I really really enjoyed the Star Wars one.
Yeah.
So
I think it'll be cool to throw in Boba Fett and Jabba the Hutt
and for Baby the Yoda.
Next one. Baby Yoda.
Topical.
Yeah.
Topical. All right, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up 40 Life in a Dash. Now to cover what's going on in your local multiverse.
What's the plane chase?
So we thought with today being New Year's Eve, we would talk about our New Year's resolutions when it comes to Magic the Gathering in 2020. Thought, you know, I mean, there we could talk about Theros Beyond Death. We're starting to get a little bit more of the spoilers.
I think we can wait on that.
Yeah, like, I'd rather just do a dedicated more cast.
Although that new Daxos, yowza.
did you see they're reprinting Gary?
Yes,
I did see that.
And I actually really like the art on that one.
Yeah,
that one's
that card's it's so shocking that they did that. Okay, never mind.
We'll say we say we're not going to talk about it, but we're going to talk about
20 minutes later, we're like, oh, yeah.
Hey, what happened?
So I'll start this off. One of my New Year's resolutions, we each have three. My first one and my main one that I'm going to do, complete my path to 32. I think I'm going to do it. I basically have Izzet, Orzhov, and then no green, no black, no blue. On the four colors.
So you still have four colors to do.
Yes, because I have my Turns and Burns, which is everything but white, and then I got my Planeswalkers, which is everything but red.
Right, yes.
So sans black, sans blue, sans green are the three.
Did you take
three.
Apart your Maelstrom Wanderer?
Yeah, that's the Turns and Burns now.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to do it. You know, Izzet and Orzhov, those are going to be easy.
Do you have any in mind?
Yeah, so I think for Orzhov, I've been toying around doing Silencia the Dark Angel. Mm-hmm. It's the one I won from the Drinkathon.
Yes.
And basically she has an activated ability, just pay two life and put her back into your hand. So you basically manipulate your life all the way down to like one.
And then there's then a bunch of cards where you swap
You give your life total to someone else.
I think I want to see that for sure.
But then they printed that Athreos Biobox for Theros Beyond Death where you put the coin counters.
Yeah.
And then when those things die, you get or exile, you get the creature. That seems pretty cool.
I still think you should stay the course.
I think I'm going to stay the course with the Dark Angel because she doesn't have a home in the Athreos deck at all.
And I think but the good news is with all these new products coming out, there's a sizable potential chance that you might be able to get a new four-color general in it, right?
So, and I think with Commander Legends, which is the draftable set that's coming out in the fall.
Q4, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Q3, Q4, somewhere in there. And based off of what Sheldon did or did not tell us about, cannot confirm or deny that partner commanders are coming back, I'm hoping they do partner widths. Four color.
And that would be cool,
And so I think that's what I'll do, because, you know, as I've kind of talked about, those existing four-color combinations don't really excite me. I guess I could just do partners for all of them, but I kind of don't like partners that much.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough...
I'm a growing fan of partners.
Partner with, I think, is great.
Yeah. But there are no partner widths that make four color pairings. Yeah.
Correct.
So I'd have to do the old school ones. So I don't know. I've basically said that I don't want to do the existing ones. So
sure. So get on it, Wizards.
Yeah, get on it. And then I think for Is It, me and Big Tuck kind of talked about this. And I think I told Squee when we were at Magic Fest OKC, I think I'm going to do Goblin Is It.
Yeah,
I dig it. I like Goblin.
You know,
I am Squee.
Yes.
Yeah, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I think I'm just going to figure it out. I guess I could just pick one of the... I'm sure they'll print an Is It God in the Theros set.
Well, or you could do the Keranos, God of the Storms, is really good.
Yeah, and just Lightning Bolt. Yeah, exactly. Draw extra cards.
You can get a Lightning Bolt.
So that's my first one. Squee McGee, what is your first New Year's resolution?
So this one's going to be a little controversial.
Boom. I'm going to build... More tokens!
Yeah. I'm going to build a wall. No. Now I'm going to build a deck with an infinite combo in it.
What? Nice.
I do not, to my knowledge, do not have an infinite combo and never have had an infinite combo in any deck.
You disgust me.
To my knowledge. Now, if I look through and you see one, let me know, please. But I do not believe I have one, so I will be putting either into a brand new deck I'm going to build, or I'm going to build one that just abuses things, because I'm a little sick of getting abused by them, so it's time to dish it back.
No, this is, you're creating the Joker. This is like the end of Batman Begins, where it's like, we buy Kevlar, they buy bulletproof vests. We buy semi-automatic guns, they buy fully automatic guns.
I'm leaving it at one, though.
You're
only
creating
one.
The villain.
Only one.
You're creating the villain.
One infinite combo.
Having that's one infinite combo is not a big deal. You have a ton of them.
I have like one.
Suck no, you
on
do it. Not.
I have like one real infinite combo in Brea.
You have so many infinite combos.
What's another one?
Well, I can't name it off the top of my head. I don't have them all memorized, but you definitely
don't have a deck list of all 44 decks memorized.
Well, I don't.
Anyways, I'm not talking to you, Mr. Combo. I'm going to need a little help here.
All right. See, I mean, here's the thing.
Or I'll find some really cute one that's dirt cheap and hopefully find one that nobody's ever seen.
Because, I mean, infinite combo is just a very generic statement.
Sure.
Could just be infinite mana. Find a way. Oh, yeah, you have your Rube Goldberg machine with your infinite mana, infinite mill, the card that had Fibblethip on it and the artwork in your wall deck, your Arcades.
Oh, no, I cut that.
Oh, good. But you had it, so there. So suck it.
Yep. Well, that's all I had. I mean, I want to do that for 2019 just to broaden my horizons a little bit. I don't participate in games that do that very much, but I'll play it once in a while, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could definitely just go very generic. Maybe Zombie Rooftop Storm with Gravecrawler. Mm-hmm. Sure. Infinite mana. There we go.
Oh, it won't be generic. It'll be creative of some sort.
Some sort of Rube Goldberg machine.
Indeed.
We're all for those. Yes. Well, Big Tuck, what is your first one?
So, first one is, I'm going to play more Planeswalkers.
Yeah!
Especially with War of the Spark coming out, there's so many now. Like, I used to not play Planeswalkers because I thought they were expensive.
We're all giving in to Mr. Combo right now. Combos, yay! Planeswalkers,
There's so many good ones, and there's so many that are out there that are just like fun. And I think Planeswalkers are, like we talked with Sheldon, have a really interesting mechanic behind them.
Sure, they do.
And I just, like, I remember now that I have my jank Planeswalker deck, which actually, since I put the upgrades in, is actually good.
I thought it was good before.
Yeah, true, yeah. Planeswalkers subbing out cards that are bad. So example would be Chandra Fire Artisan.
Yeah.
Right? So her plus one is you can like exile the top card of your library and then play it for end of turn. So like I realized that I had like 10 copies of Vance's Blasting Cannons, which is an enchantment that does the same thing, but you can't play lands off it.
Oh,
so
okay.
What do you need help with in red? Playing lands. So there's times.
There's nothing worse when you exile the land.
Like, no! I think with War of the Spark, like Planeswalkers are becoming more predominant. They're becoming cheaper.
Yep.
And now there's like even ones that are getting reprinted in Commander sets.
Yep.
That'll probably keep happening.
Like the new Garruk Huntsman. That's not bad. Make a couple two black wolves.
And then you can play like Garruk Tribal, which I like.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
But I'm saying like, and you're telling me they're not going to print a shitload of new ones in that Commander Legacy?
Yeah, almost like so many.
So anyway, so number one thing for me is going to be play more Planeswalkers.
I think that's cool. I like Planeswalkers. I think I only play two in my four decks. That's Garruk and Frailes.
Those are rookie numbers.
That's it. But no, I agree with you. You have a great point that the Planeswalkers are a lot more affordable. For example, like one of the ones I need to run in my Reese deck is Nissa Worldwaker.
Oh, yeah.
Which used to be, I don't know, I can't remember where it spiked at, but when it came out, it was pretty expensive. And now it's like $3. But yeah, anyways, they're more affordable. You can get your hands on them, and they're fun. I mean, I like them just as a distraction, even if I don't use the planes.
Yeah, exactly. Just hit at that instead of hitting you. Worst case, you're probably going to pay between 3 and 6 mana.
Right.
Do an effect when it comes out.
Right.
And then even if it dies, that's still life total that didn't affect you.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's, you know, if it's a 5 loyalty, you basically paid, let's just say, 5 mana for five life and an effect, which is good.
And that's like worst case scenario,
that's
right?
Absolute
like,
worst case.
If you can get 2-3 activations out of them, a lot of times I don't even read the ultimate because it happens so rarely, right? So for me, it's more like utility. If they have a good +1 that does something, and then a minus something that's good, like Vraska, the Vraska
just like murder something,
immediately, and then
she still sticks around.
And best case scenario, you're killing the things that are killing her, and then that's like mid scenario. And then best case is you build that into a win con.
Absolutely.
So yeah, more planeswalkers coming to a play group near you.
All right, I like it. So my next one is going to be, I need to streamline my color pie better. And what I kind of mean by that is some of my decks, my path to 32.
The distribution, you mean?
No, or? Kind of more, for example, my Dimir deck is just zombie tribal.
Right.
That's not what Dimir is. You can just do it. Mm-hmm. I need to, considering I only have 5 decks left for my path to 32, and 3 of them I probably won't start working on until Q3 and Q4, I think I'm going to take decks like that are fit for my path to 32, and I'm going to make a new Dimir deck that is a true Dimir deck, not just tribal to have it fit. Yeah. So I think that's one of the things that I need to do.
So are you
going to
keep your old deck or build new?
I think I'll keep it because I still have the Dimir sleeves for that deck that I haven't used. I haven't sleeved it because I have the zombie sleeve for it. I think that's one of the things that I'm going
to
do.
I think what you'll find too when you're doing that. So for example, I was trying to turn my Rakdos Lord of Riots into like the Rakdos coin flip one.
Mm-hmm.
So I got the cards, and then when I was sitting there, it was like 35 cuts. And then I was like, wait a minute, I can add 35 basics and then just pick up another 30 cards to pull us in. It's like, I'm just going to build a new one.
Yeah.
Right? So like, and for me, like I'm a deck whore because I'll say it, just keep that in mind, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to like burning down the past Kylo Ren, you can keep it, right? And then just like think new ways or like cannibalize cards out of the
because I mean, I even like, for example, my colorless deck is literally just Eldrazi tribal,
which is not fun.
I think I could probably do something more creative that fits what colorless is supposed to be, and that's what my goal is going to be.
Sure.
So, Squee McGee, what's your next one?
So my next goal is to build this year. Well, I guess this coming year.
Yeah.
5 brand new decks under $500.
Wow.
All right. So do you think it's going to be? So how are you going to do the dollar? Is it going to be even cards that are in your collection will count towards that dollar limit, or just you will only spend another $500?
It will be with cards that I have here, and for those playing the home game, Squee's got, I don't know, a pile of maybe 400 cards on the side, so it's not an expansive thing that we've got going on up there.
You do have some friends here
lots of bulk.
So I would like to keep them as close to $100 or under on total value if possible. I will use whatever cards
if you make one of the decks like a $250 deck, would that then mean that the other 4 would have to be under 250, or are you gonna have each deck be under 100?
It's total 500, so however I spend it, I can make one deck for, I don't know,
$450
and then make 4 decks for $12.
Lance. Nice. So this is my new tech. It's 99 lands, and you saw on the Wandering Bard.
Yeah, most likely I'll be pulling from some of my more favored and cheaper Weatherlight Report decks and trying to build those out and do it that way. And
cool.
There's a few that I'm interested in, and the one I'm talking about today is going to be pretty good.
Cool. Nice. Cool. Love it. Well, what's your next one, Big Tuck?
In the podcast, too, in the future, we talk about this. So one thing that I'm going to do with the decks that I currently have, some of the color combinations that I don't, is take out the Girlfriends of Christmas Past.
Yep.
So
get rid of them.
Yeah, just like start going. And it's like, there's decks where I was like, ugh, I have to play this again, right? Just because it's sitting there.
Yeah.
And now it's starting to get more excited just because they like have more, like you said, like more of an identity, right? Mm-hmm. As opposed to being like the collection of bad memories or like these 4 or 5 different things I've tried to permeate the deck into. It's just being like, no, either like embrace the cute and go this way. For example, we just talked about Temet. If I really wanted to, I could be like, okay, you're actually doing a mass and you're going to try to make it work, right?
Yep.
As opposed to having two mass cards in it, right? That's going to help me a lot with the decks that I have currently. Also with, I'll get into new decks later, but that's going to be a big goal of mine, is going through and like cutting cards, making it consistent, finding the path, finding the through line on these decks, stopping this like bring your own commander, swap out stuff, like sure. just being like, let's make decks that have identities that I like to play,
yeah.
and figure out what I don't like about playing them and figure out what I can do to make them interesting, right? Because I just hate the idea mm-hmm. of being like, I have 44 decks, but in reality, I only like to play 25.
Sure.
So, and a lot of the cuts aren't that expensive and that sort of thing. So
yeah, no, that totally makes sense. So my last one is going to be an ambitious one. And this actually could be one that me and Big Tuck are going to share.
Buy the Power 9.
Jesus. No.
What'd you say? Some guy went and dropped $20,000?
Yeah.
Straight cash on the table. Yeah.
I think it was like 15 grand cash and then $5,000 on his card or something bought a playset.
That was like the morning we got to MTG.
Yeah. That was the first thing that Will and Squeamy Gee saw. And it made me shrivel up a little bit.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's one that me and Big Tuck are going to work on this summer. I want to, and this was totally inspired by that Game Nights episode, I want to make a Commander Cube.
Oh, Cube? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think that would be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how to make a Cube. And so, and I think it's something that definitely I don't want to rush into. I want to take our time because something about the chaos
right.
of randomly grabbing a general and then making a 60 card deck.
It's my favorite. I love it.
Unfortunately, I think that might also be a fall thing for you too, because I think that cube format is going to have so much impact.
Yeah, that Commander right? Legends yeah, is going right, to have a lot. Yeah. But I think there will... See, like this is the weird thing is... In my mind, I'm like, okay, well, I got to put in Kadama's Reaches. I need to put in Brainstorms. But yeah,
You don't have to.
I don't have to.
You can do whatever you want. Yeah.
But you have to make it to where the cards can be synergistic, and that's where it's going to be really difficult.
Well, I think you have to start with a meta and then build from that meta. So you want to say, hey, we want to have like a quick type draft cube where it's pretty easy to put together a deck mm-hmm. and people's games will go pretty quickly. Or you could have it like, I want to be a creature focus, or I want it to be like no combos.
And the thing that I don't know is, do I want to have my cube with what you would have in your 60-card deck? And then do I want to have a separate box with legends that we cycle those around? So boom, in the beginning, you're like, okay, I have these three legends. Mm-hmm. And so now I know as I'm picking cards, I need to pick things that kind of go off of that.
I think that's the right way to do it.
I do too.
And then you could, but like also the thing I like about that is you can throw in like the conspiracy cards from it too, right? And
unglued.
Like, I have all of them, right? So I don't like doing drafts all the time.
Yeah.
But this way, and the fact, like, one thing I don't like about draft is it's not a multiplayer format, and I hate doing heads up. I like to play multiplayer.
And this could be multiplayer.
This is a multiplayer draft format.
Absolutely. And I think this would be kind of fun for us to throw in proxies of banned cards.
Oh, yeah.
Like, maybe throwing a Black Lotus.
We're talking about prime time, baby.
Friend of the show, Tice. He has a proxied out cube that has like the Power 9 and all the Abers.
Oh, that'd be sweet.
And
that'd be a lot of fun.
When he's come and visited, we'll just sit there and like make it two piles. It's like, this is your deck, this is your deck. And then go from there. It's so much
fun.
That
sounds like a ton of fun.
Yeah, like, okay, like turn one, time walk, time vault. Like, go pass, right? Like, it's imagine doing that with commanders out too. So I think that's a great project. And David, I'm doing it with you.
All right. Cool. Well, Squee, what is your last one?
So I am absolutely horrible about deck statistics, about putting my crap online. I have Reese on there only because we have a debate today. I finally spent the time and put him in there.
Oh, it's terrible.
And even that's not updated.
No, this one's up to date.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
oh.
It's got all of the goodies in there. I picked up a few upgrades from OKC and made it, I think, debate worthy. But now I want to categorize all my decks online. I want to start looking more at CMC curves, things like that, statistics.
That's smart.
Yep.
Just tuning what I have. Finding any way to keep things, on a budget, but as good as it possibly can be.
Well, with Magic being around almost 30 years, there's just so many cards that you haven't seen. Like every week on Brews and Builds that we dive into one of Big Tux or I's decks or even our guest decks, and it's like, oh, I didn't even know this card existed. Yeah, yeah. Like, right. This I'm is a slam about, dunk and this.
I'm talking about three of them in the Weatherlight report today that I have never seen before.
Yeah. I think that's a, that, you know, and actually that makes you a better Magic player. Mm-hmm. When you start to go in and start to look at your decks, spend more time. And it's good that you're doing it now opposed to later, like me and Big Tuck, where we have 30 plus, 40 plus.
I've only
decks.
Got four here. One's done, three to go.
Now, you, your eyes will bleed if you try to do it with every single deck.
Yeah, and like trying to keep up with it. It is like you are inheriting more work, but it helps so much when you're like, wait, how many copies of this card do I actually have, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it was cool also because when I put my Reese deck in, I could see it had a really low mana curve, mm-hmm. which is what I assumed it had, but I'd never really done the math or equated how that breaks
out. And honestly, I never even looked at the color pie until we started doing this, and since doing that, I'm like, oh, that is super helpful just to think through, like, how many swamps should I put in versus how many forests and that sort of
instead
thing.
Instead of just doing the generic, I'm just going to do this half.
Right, And so, now, granted, I haven't noticed a difference, but it looks better on the page.
Yeah, but we also, like...
I mean, you have so many decks you don't play them very often.
Yeah, you're so dedicated to playing each one only once. I'm, like, halfway there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Live it on a prayer! Well, what is your last one?
Okay, so my New Year's resolution is either going to be Mike Campbell, friend of the show, did a really good job of this, and be like, I'm only going to build one deck out of the new sets that come out.
Oh, okay.
Like, so for each, because there's three Commander products that are coming out.
Yeah, Theros is going to have Commander product, Ikoria. From what I understand, that one's going to be mostly reprints.
That one's going to be like the Commander 2020. Like, we're not going to get a core Commander set anymore.
Correct.
Yeah. So we'll have one from Theros, one from Ikora, and then the Commander Legends in the fall. Okay, so that, like, my plan is to build one from each of those if I like it. Because now, like, it's starting to get to the point where it's like, oh, Jund. Well, I already have Jund.
Yeah.
But this one's interesting or different enough.
Different enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's either that or I shit or get off the pot on my pseudo Commander Cube where it's just one of every card and I build my decks the day of.
So oh, that's kind of cool.
So I've seen that before where someone just has a box of everything sleeved, and that was actually the guy with like the fat, like new game in town. They're all sleeved like that. And he's like, huh, what do I want to play today? Picks out one commander, and he's like, okay, great. I know I have one Soul Ring instead of 50. The Aberduels, right? So he just had one of all the good utility cards and one of all like the standards. So he like didn't have seven Chromatic Lanterns, right? So he's like, okay, three colors. So I know I want a Soul Ring, Chromatic Lantern, Gilded Lotus. Okay, in white, I got one Lantax, one of these things. And it let him like build more decks on the fly.
Okay.
Regardless of what the commander was.
Yeah.
I feel like you're going to like that better than the first one.
But the problem I have with that is that's really hard to do to build, like, I refuse to play the same deck usually more than once.
Yeah.
So like that is really prohibitive to that. So you would actually need, like, for me...
So what if you rotate it out, like, every 3 or 4 months and change out the card set?
Well, it's more like I would need a way so I can build three decks out of that somehow.
Yeah.
Well, make it a little bit bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the biggest challenge you're going to have is I think you'll actually have to say... this is going to be three colors or less.
Yeah,
because if you truly build, put all the cards in, that would be standards for five colors or less.
Right, yeah, then it's all going
to
be...
Then you're just going to have so many options to where you're just basically going to do a five-color deck every week.
Right.
And I don't think you want to do that. I think then you're going to have to cut all the tribal, because you can't do tribal in there. I think that's going to be difficult.
Like, it will be, but think about it. Like, I could sell my 40 Soul Rings, and that's like an Aberduel right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, the drips and drabs and pieces of it. I've talked about this with friend of the show, Tice, a lot, and we've, like, kind of gone back and forth on this, and I don't think this is going to be the year for it, probably.
Yeah.
Realistically, I'll probably end up just getting to 50 decks. back to the point. With streamlining the decks, instead of being like, I'm going to buy all these commander products, and I'm going to find the one that interests me the most, because that actually worked with the new one, because I only got Angie.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I've been super happy with just that.
Why don't you go this approach instead of trying to have this cube to where you make a deck each week? Instead of doing that, why don't you go with this kind of approach instead? Why don't you pick your color combination? So Boros, Rakdos, Tricolor, whatever. Pick that. You have the core deck to where you got your land base, you have your artifacts, but then the remaining 40 cards, 50 cards, that could be random every single week. Where literally you just roll a die and you're like, okay, I'm gonna play that random commander.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And then you're just like, okay, I'm just gonna grab this chunk of cards.
That'd be cool.
And then that would be your deck of the week. It would be different enough, but it'd be different enough to where you're not playing the same thing every single week. But then, or even in the same day. But then it would be simple enough for you to be able to go back and forth. Because then, literally, just okay, let me just take out everything except for artifacts and lands, throw it back in there. I'm going to shuffle this massive pile. I think that could be easier. And then you could even, because there's certain commanders that are generic enough where you could just have random whatever.
Yeah.
There was on a podcast I was listening to, I think it was EDH Rec, they talked about that they went to a Magic Fest and played with a guy that literally just had a D6. He had six commanders. He'd roll it like, okay, I'm going to play with this guy. And then he had a pile of like 100 or 200 cards. And he'd like, okay, and he just kind of randomly grabbed 30 cards, slot that in for the 70, and then boom, that was his deck that he would play.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'd be like that. The one problem with all this is it sounds like a lot of work, and it sounds like a lot easier just to build more decks.
I would agree.
So anyways, but if you're
wanting a challenge.
Yeah. So anyways, we'll see how that turns out. But again, back to just like the Mike Campbell one deck a set.
Yep. Cool. I like it. Hey, guys, and you know what? Now that the whole cast is on the tweeters, tweet at us what your New Year's resolutions are. We'd love to hear it. And, you know, if you're looking for guidance on any of this stuff, I'm sure we'd be more than happy to take the 15 seconds while we're on the pot to answer. So, well, that's going to wrap up What's the Plane Chase. Now in that last segment, Squee dives into those creative juices with the Weatherlander.
Welcome back to the Weatherlight Report, coming to you live from Weatherlight Chopper 4. I'm Squee McGee. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Clear Eyes, for all the blinking we're about to do. We're talking Roeless Apex Hybrid. Roeless, for those playing the home game, is a 4-5 blue-green legendary human mutant. It has flying and trample, and it reads, when Roeless Apex Hybrid enters the battlefield, put 2+1/+1 counters on another target creature you control. When Roeless dies, proliferate again. So
that die trigger, though, man.
Yeah, that die trigger.
I don't care about the second ability on this for the most part at all.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be purely blink in, blink out. And there's a couple cards in here that'll have a little bit of shenanigans on it. But
sure.
I think he's, what, $1.10, $1.11, something like that. He's pretty good. He's also a 4-5 flying with trample is nothing to sniff at.
Mythic.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, this is one of those cards that when it got previewed, everyone got real excited about making him into a planeswalker commander, but then they're like, wait, he has to die, then that's not quite as good as people want him to be. Yeah, and you're not in colors that makes it easy to get him out of the graveyard. Yep. So I'll be interested to hear how we're going to be blinking.
We're talking all blue blink today here. So first card I want to talk about is Teferi's Time Twist. It's a blue instant for a colorless and a blue. It reads, exile target permanent you control. Return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. If it enters the battlefield as a creature, it enters with an additional 1/1 counter on it.
Love it.
Yeah, so that's good.
Yeah, and it's from the same set, so you have that. This is a card that we're talking about. I'm looking at this. It's legal literally in every format.
Yep.
Which is weird. I don't know why that's so shocking to me. But
anything standard is usually legal in every format.
And actually, I'm going to look back. I think the Teferi's Time Twist does a lot. There is a lot of these like bounce effects. The fact that this is a target permanent, not a creature, but gives you the benefit of the doubt with the creature. Yeah, I have this in my Planeswalker deck, and it's done work before.
And being an instant, I mean, it can save your ass in a board wipe or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
So yeah, I think that one's really good. The next one I wanted to talk about is Release to the Wind, which is very similar. So it's a blue instant for two colorless and a blue. It reads, exile target non-land permanent. Ooh. For as long as that card remains exile, its owner may cast it without paying its mana cost.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
Oh, yeah.
So you not only have to use it on you could use it on somebody else to stop an effect or get in the way of something
especially if they like cheat in like a Blightsteel or something like that. Mm-hmm. Then you can exile it, and it's like, okay, you still have to pay. Now you have to actually pay for it.
No.
Or
no, you cast it without paying its mana cost.
Right. But
without paying its mana cost. Oh, I thought it was...
No, I mean, it's more of one of those things to where if you're trying to use it on your opponents, like Squee kind of mentioned, you use it to save yourself.
Right.
Yes, they can cast it again, but in the Blightsteel thing, now it's going to not have haste or whatever.
Right, and summoning sickness, you got to sit for 2 turns.
Or like if Planeswalker's about to ultimate, right?
Yeah.
Be like, nope, and then they got to start that whole process over.
Correct.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it has a lot of utility. I'd probably use it on myself more often than not, but in a pinch, it's another utility card, kind of like Teferi's, where you can just use it on something else out there.
Yeah,
the
fun.
So the third card I wanted to talk about is, I think, the best of the bunch. It's Voidwalk. Blue sorcery for three colorless and a blue. It reads, exile target creature. Return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step, and then it has Cypher, which is then you
may exile this spell
card and code it on a creature you control. You encode Roalesque, and then Roalesque comes in as a copy. He hits the battlefield, legendary rule applies, it dies, but you still get the counter effect on it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then you, technically, if he dies, because you do have to sacrifice him, you can sacrifice the token, and then he's going to proliferate and proliferate again, so then that's going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's, I like that.
Yeah, and whenever he does combat damage to somebody is when you get to flash something in, so almost every turn with a flying trampler, you'll probably be able to hit somebody
with
and
then that. And then you can bounce one of
your own
creatures.
Blink in a token, you get two +1/+1 counters on it, it dies immediately, but it does hit the battlefield, and that just is a continual thing. Mm-hmm. It just keeps going.
Yeah, no, that's awesome.
The last card I wanted to talk about is going back to my Morphling days. It's not Morphling, it's but Morphling. It is Aetherling. So Aetherling is a blue 4/5 shapeshifter for 4 colorless and 2 blue. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because this might be the most stubborn card on the planet.
Yeah, it's brutal.
If you get this thing on the board, it's not going anywhere. For those playing the home game, it reads, for 1 blue, exile Aetherling, return to the battlefield under its owner's control, essentially blink. For 1 blue, Aetherling is unblockable this turn. For 1 colorless, it gets +1/-1, and for 1 colorless, it gets -1/+1.
But you can't do the old Morphling gimmick where you make it like a 20, you make it like a +20/-20.
No, you can't do that.
Swap it back.
The idea around this, though, is just to have either something that can always do damage.
Yeah.
It's always blinkable in a board wipe. It's never going away. And or if you need a blocker, you can beef them up and make them a little bit bigger.
I've always wanted to do Ling Tribal, because there's like one for each of them, but the problem is none of them are any good in Commander.
No.
So.
Yeah, I don't foresee myself ever really using the -1/+1 ability on them, just because you can block, blink, bring them back, and prevent all damage that way, unless it has trample or something like that, maybe. But this is just such a stubborn card to put in a deck like this, where maybe other things are getting hated on. People can't
so annoying.
Hate on this
and it's,
thing.
And it's also a quarter.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. It was absolutely dirt cheap.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about this deck. I do think I'm going to build this one.
All right.
Well, your non-budget option, you should also have a Deep Glow Skate in the deck. Four colorless blue. When it ETBs, double the amount of each kind of counter on any number of target permanents. Since you're doing these blinking shenanigans anyways, you also have cards like that. Mm-hmm. Another one that's an auto-include is Thrumming Bird. That card does work in that Pyr and Toothy deck. Whenever
Is there a claw? Progress would be a good one.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really touch on any.
You already have, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I didn't touch on any of the proliferate cards in here.
Right.
I was more on the blink theme, but yeah, you'll have your standards that are proliferate in green and blue.
Yeah, because the biggest thing is like if you're blinking him in and out, it's because you're adding the counters on his stuff. So you might as well have more ways to do more counters, like hardened scales.
Also, I'm looking. The original Morphling is still $10.
Good
sentimental value,
I guess, and it's on the reserved list. But still, it's like. I'm never going to play that card.
No, me neither.
Fine for a 3/3 that can untap itself. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Yeah, but I'm excited about this. I do think I'm going to build it, but that's all I had on that.
Cool.
So I'm going to kick it back to the Action 4 News Desk with Mr. Combo and Big Tuck.
Thank you for staying with us. And as always, remember the great giveaways from CMD Tower and Level 1 Game Shop by retweeting, subscribing, following, liking, and sharing. And hey, placing orders through level1gameshop.com. Another way to support your local news team is to head over to patreon.com/CMDTower. With reward tiers for all the budgets, there's a way that you, the collective, can help. Without your support, I would just
be hungover on a Saturday
just
morning.
Just be hungover on a Saturday morning.
At home instead of here.
Yeah. You can stay in touch with your MTG Action 4 news team by following us on the Twitter, the Facebook, and our website, cmdtower.com.
Facebook for birds, Facebook.
You can communicate directly with your team at CMD Tower, at Mr. Comma number 5, all spelled out except for the 5, at Deer Squee, and at Big Tuck Tweeting. You can also email all of us at whatever our names are, Mr. Comma number 5, at Deer Squee, and at Big Tuck, followed by an at cmdtower.com. From your MTG Action 4 news team, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.